Welcome to the Modern Law Revolution podcast. This is the podcast featuring the successful and happy lawyers changing the practice of law in Colorado. As always, we are brought to you by the wonderful Colorado Bar Association. My name is JP Box. I'm your co-host. I'm a lawyer turned entrepreneur, consultant, and author, and the past chair of the Modern Law Practice Initiative.
And I am Erica Holmes, founder of EL Holmes Legal Solutions, a modern law practice focusing on family law and attorney ethics and regulation. And I am also a past chair of the CBA's MLPI. Our first order of business today is to welcome back our long lost host, JP. Not only are we thrilled to have him back, but he is also our special guest star for this episode. JP is here to talk about a concept near and dear to his heart, a term that he has coined, work-life blend. So welcome back, JP. For those of you that may have forgotten all about JP's amazing accomplishments since he first introduced himself on our very first podcast, JP is, like he said, a lawyer turned entrepreneur, consultant, and author. He left the practice of law to co-found and run a merino wool children's apparel company, and it's called Chasing Windmills. So in the 5+ years that he has been running this company, it's reached customers in all 50 states and over 24 countries. So he has also started in his spare time a consulting practice focusing on helping law firms understand the millennial mindset to unlock the talents and passions of this new generation of attorneys. JP is author of the book, The Millennial Lawyer, How Your Firm Can Motivate and Retain Young Associates. That was published by the ABA in 2018 and has a shout out to MLPI in it, I have to point out. So, and he keeps writing on and on, and he has been featured in publications such as the Law Practice Today, Law Technology Today, the Georgetown Law Magazine, and the Colorado Lawyers. You'll be hearing about even more. So for those of you that listened to our last podcast on modern networking, here is a perfect example of how it actually really, really works. So back in 2017, after reading an article that I had written for the Colorado Lawyer, JP sent me an email completely out of the blue, introducing himself as this millennial lawyer. I had no idea what that meant, and just wanting to know more about modern law, which of course I always love to talk about. So we met for coffee at Union Station. And as we were talking, I started talking about this awesome concept that I had read about in the Colorado Lawyer the previous year, and about work-life blend. And I was just going on and on how this was the coolest concept. Well, turns out I'm actually having coffee with the guy that I had been quoting. So, and I did tell him that I had been giving him the kudos that I hadn't come up with this, but I actually didn't know his name to be telling everyone I was quoting, but now I do. But anyway, so the relationship has grown from there with JP joining MLPI and eventually becoming chair. And now he's the co-host of this magnificent podcast. And I also consider him to have become a great friend. So see what one email can do for everyone.
Well, that is way too kind, Erica. We're going to have to do an episode where I give you an introduction like you just gave me, because I think we'll have to edit it down to keep my ego in check. But thank you for that boost of confidence this morning.
We're not even done. Here we go with a little bit more. So with going back with the work-life blend, the whole focus of this podcast, it has totally become a thing. So like I said, it started back with this article in the Colorado Lawyer in 2016. Then you discuss it in depth in the Millennial Lawyer that you wrote, which, by the way, people, you just need to read this because it's just a fantastic book. Literally, I cried, I laughed, I learned a lot. It's just a really good book. So just read it because of just, it's awesome. And then just recently, Work-Life Blend, I saw it being quoted in Evolve the Law, a publication of Above the Law, in an article which was called The Law Firms Benefiting from Generational Change. And it actually said that work-life blend is the, quote, a watchword for millennial workers. So, and that just came out. So this is, work-life blend is a thing. So now that everyone knows that it's a thing, let's go back to the beginning, and I'll actually let JP talk during this podcast. Why do we need work-life blend to be a thing? What was wrong with work-life balance, which is what people used to call this a similar concept?
I appreciate that question, Erica. And I have to tell you first that making it a thing was in large part, I think, because of you and others who spoke it far and wide. You know, to quote Malcolm Gladwell, you're one of those connectors that pushes info out into the world and finds its wings. So It became a thing. I guess it really started when I was working as a lawyer, hearing so much about work-life balance. And intuitively, it always struck me as something that I didn't really want, that I didn't want to balance my work against my life. I wanted them to be this ball of twine all wrapped up together. And what we've seen is, you know, work-life balance has had a two-decade run in industries across the U.S., including our industry, the legal profession. And despite two decades of very well-intentioned work-life balance initiatives at law firms throughout Colorado, throughout the country, lawyers are not any happier with their jobs than they were before these initiatives. And so I think a big part of it really is that we don't want to pit work against life. There needed to be a different formulation. And so that's what got me thinking towards the blended environment of, instead of putting work and life against each other, how do we make life the whole thing? And work is an interesting, enhancing aspect of life. It's a big part of our life, but they're no longer in this tension anymore. Because when it comes down to it, it's all life. And we have all of our personal responsibilities, our professional responsibilities that exist on this continuous spectrum. And so rather than trying to give just enough attention to our work and just enough attention to life, I really wanted to have an environment where we figure out how to take care of all of our responsibilities more on this continuous spectrum. And so as I started looking at work-life blend, it has a B and an L, so it can replace balance. I'm big on alliteration. When I started looking at it from the perspective of millennials, time and time again, it jumped out at me as millennials aren't asking for balance. They're asking for integration. They want a blended environment. And so that's what really set me forth on this trajectory, writing for the Colorado Lawyer and later for the ABA, about moving away from this elusive concept of balance that doesn't really work towards this more empowering concept of blend.
To explain what work-life blend looks like, you've broken the concept into five freedoms. The first freedom work-life blend gives a modern lawyer is the freedom to rethink when and where work happens. Could you expand on this a little bit?
Sure. And this is something that everyone has received a crash course in during this period of pandemic practice, as we've moved away from physical office locations to home offices. The freedom to rethink when and where work happens basically means that we can be productive in a lot of places. And it's about finding our most productive selves at our most productive times and places. And when you look at the statistics, looking at the millennial generation, which is now age 24 to 39, anywhere from 2/3 to upwards of 90% want some autonomy in setting their work location and hours. It doesn't mean working less, it just means working smarter. And so really moving away from the notion of, you know, I need to see you in a physical office location for you to be productive, to a more trusting atmosphere of, I understand that you can be productive in ways that may be the same as me, that may be different from me, but really let's figure out how to make you your most productive, ready to contribute self. And that's where the freedom to rethink when and where work happens comes from.
And it's not just the where, it's the when. So if you're most productive at 3 o'clock in the morning, or you've got kiddos and you need to take off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it can get all your work done ahead of time. That's all part of this, right? So in terms of scheduling.
Exactly. And you're a great example of that, as a person who wakes up extremely early in the morning and accomplishes more in the pre-dawn hours than most people do all day. And so it really is, you know, when am I ready to throw myself into my work? And when am I, you know, need to take care of another personal responsibility or work out or walk the dog? How do I structure my life in a way that allows me to take care of all these responsibilities and be, you know, extremely productive while you're doing it?
The second freedom that you talk about is the freedom to bring life into work. So you're supposed to bring your dog. Like, what does this mean?
Sure. If you have a dog-friendly office, bring your dog. But I think really it goes to the heart of breaking down the divides that balance created. And so that there are, you know, your life exists outside the office and work exists inside the office. And there's, I think, a well-intentioned but misguided effort to separate life from work. So when we're here, we're focused on our clients, we're focused on our, you know, billing our hours. This is our sole focus, rather than bringing a humanizing element into the office. And so I encourage partners, you know, coworkers, get to know your coworkers. Find out, you know, what do they like to do on the weekend? What makes them feel alive? How can you make a genuine connection with them? And making those types of connections with people won't make you less productive in the office. It's actually going to be a stabilizing force in the office that will tether people together and make people want to work with and for each other. And so really not being shy about getting to know people, having that humanizing element in the workplace is extremely important.
So talk about something other than work in the workplace is what you're saying. Wow.
Exactly. Even if it's just for 5 minutes. I had, you know, when I was practicing law in Denver, I had one of my favorite partners was a big skier like myself. So every Monday morning we would meet, and the first thing we would talk about was where we skied over the weekend and what runs we did. And that would last 5 minutes. And then, you know, he would jump into, okay, this week for these cases, we have these 10 things coming up. And he was always the first person I talked to on a Monday morning, which meant he got to kind of peg my time first. But it was because I actually looked forward to seeing him and knowing that we would have this connection of something that was meaningful to us. And so it's really get to know the people that work with you and make it an environment where all of us want to be.
And on the environment front, freedom number three is freedom to think of workspace as living space. What the heck does that mean?
It's again, destabilizing what's traditionally a work sphere and what's traditionally a living sphere. And prior to offices across the US closing down and opening up again with limited people, there was a really interesting movement for law firm architecture, where law firms were intentionally building in cafes, and you know, some Washington, D.C. law firms were putting rooftop bocce ball courts in, kind of the Googleification of the law firm workplace, trying to make it a place where people come because it's their social center, because it's their work center. And you know, it's not a place where you drudgingly go up the elevator and you sit at your desk for the next 8 to 10 hours and you just bury your head. It's a place that you might be there for, let's say, 12 hours because, you know, you're having lunch or dinner with colleagues and you're having, you know, it's your community, it's your workplace, and it becomes a place where people want to be. And when you create that type of environment, not only do you have people excited to come to work, they'll actually stay at that law firm for a longer period of time rather than looking for, okay, where can I find community because I'm just not getting it at my place of work. And so really kind of creating that blended environment is extremely important.
Well, and this is another way that the pandemic can actually be seen as a good thing, is because my understanding is that a lot of law firms are rethinking their space now that people are working remotely and will likely at some capacity continue to work remotely. So they don't need as much space as they had before, the law firms. And so, you know, get in there and start talking to them about recreating the space in a different way. So this could be a really good opportunity right now to rethink the workspace. And so all the people out there, modern lawyers, stand up and start talking to your firms about it. The number four freedom is to work, think, and connect digitally. So take it away on that.
Yep. Well, that's exactly what we're doing now as we meet over Zoom here to record this podcast. And again, I think the pandemic has accelerated the digital move for work. But all of these technologies existed, you know, over a year ago before this all happened. And so really it's about embracing technology to make our work make more sense. And there's been, whether it's looking at social media or whether it's looking at messaging apps, there's been a hesitancy, I think, from a lot of law firms moving in that direction and trying to curtail what their employees can access at work and what really counts as work. And it's interesting, there's been a series every year, Deloitte does a series of studies looking at the millennial generation across dozens of countries, and tens of thousands of millennials are surveyed. And one of the things that they found was that the super connected millennials, those who throw themselves into the digital world of work more than others, actually have a lot more positive views of the purpose of business and how important their professions are. And so if a law firm tries to avoid the digital move towards work, oftentimes they're going to be screening out those millennials, those young lawyers who would be most excited about working in this profession and throwing themselves into their work. So this is, just as the freedom to rethink when and where work happens is how do we work smarter? This is the digital aspect of how do we work smarter.
So as you talk about the freedom to connect digitally, conversely, work-life blend's last freedom is the freedom to unplug. So how do those work together?
Sure. We need to literally unplug our devices sometimes, figuratively, literally, and give ourselves time to recharge. We've talked a lot, Erica, about the pernicious nature of the billable hour on this show and how it creates incentives that make us work longer, but not necessarily better. And it's important, especially because we have our profession, because the billable hour still is so entrenched, and hopefully we're moving away from it, that we do have to give ourselves an extra reminder to step off the treadmill, to unplug and recharge. I mean, there's study after study will show that workers who have a chance to take a break and throw themselves back into their work will be much more efficient and much more productive. And so it can be as simple as respecting somebody's lunch hour, letting them clear their head, have lunch with a friend before jumping back into the afternoon work. It could be respecting each other's vacations, where taking a family vacation or vacation with friends to clear our minds and to really get that sense of rebirth from taking that step away. And the example that I like to use for this one comes from one of my favorite companies, Patagonia, who has a Let My People Go Surfing policy. And it's Patagonia's corporate offices in Ventura, California, overlook the ocean. And so, Yvonne Chouinard and the rest of the executive team at Patagonia encourages their employees, hey, if you look out at the waves and they're breaking just right, go surf for an hour or two during the middle of the workday and then come back. We trust that you'll make up your time. We trust that you're not missing meetings and really, give yourself that chance to reboot and get ready for work again. And so it's a matter of really trusting each other to take that step away, knowing that when we come back, we're going to be that much better as a team.
Well, when we keep talking with the freedoms about how to change the culture of the firm with this work-life blend, but with the freedom to unplug, there's also a personal responsibility in that too, in terms of each modern lawyer saying, hey, I need to unplug. And not somebody else's job to allow you to unplug, but you have to actually take the steps to do it yourself, including it in work-life blend. So with this beautiful concept of work-life blend and what it looks like from these different freedoms, when you've shared this blended vision with law firms, what has been the biggest pushback that you've received?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. The biggest pushback generally is a fear that a blended environment means less work. And that if we bring life into work, if we create this destabilized environment, will there be a structure in place that allows us to keep the lights on as a firm and continue meeting our clients' needs? In reality, the blended environment can actually increase production. And I'll give a concrete example from a law firm that I spoke with in Chicago. They had 5 floors of office space, and they had, once upon a time, law libraries that sat there that were collecting dust more and more as the young associates did more and more research, obviously, online. And so they cut down the size of those libraries and created cafes on each floor. And they put in flat screen televisions and couches and tables and encouraged their associates that these spaces are for you. You all can come here and work when you want to. You can come here and hang out. And there was a lot of partners who were against the move, worrying that, okay, if we tell our young folks, come in here, work here, are they just going to spend the whole day essentially wasting time hanging out? But the billable hours at that law firm actually increased after that. And it was because the associates wanted to come into work. And every night there would be groups of associates ordering pizza or takeout, laptops open, a baseball game up on the screen on mute. And they were working, they were talking, they were destabilizing that environment. And so, productivity actually increased. And so again, it's not about how do we work less? It's how do we work smarter and take care of all of our needs in a much smarter manner.
So you're saying the data out there actually supports work-life blend.
Yes, it's not just my, you know, my pie in the sky hope. It's this can actually help the bottom line. Because I know as a person who speaks with law firms, I have to give them the carrot to make this move. It's not just about this is a nice thing to do. From a productivity standpoint, it's also the smart thing to do.
So we've talked about it in terms of the firms with work-life blends. How do clients feel about work-life blend? I mean, their lawyer's out riding a bike. How do they handle that?
Sure. This is part of the win-win of the way back when we talked about the four pillars of modern law. And one of them was empowerment, empowering lawyers to build practices that fit them and also empowering clients. And so this a blended environment actually helps clients because clients don't need us solely between the hours of 9 and 5, that they have rich lives that have a lot going on, a lot of moving pieces. And sometimes a client needs to meet early in the morning. Sometimes they need to talk on the phone late at night. Sometimes they have an emergency that pops up over the weekend. And to be good lawyers, we have to be able to respond to them in real time sometimes. And when we have a balanced environment where we say, okay, nights and weekends are mine and the rest of the waking hours are yours, it actually doesn't allow us to be as responsive to clients as we need to be when the emergency situation arises. And so if we have a blended environment, if a client has an emergency on a Friday night, we'll drop everything, help our client, work into the weekend if we have to, but maybe we'll take off, you know, the next Monday to take care of all the stuff that we didn't take care of over the weekend because we were jumping on this issue for a client. And so it's really about giving ourselves the flexibility to meet our clients' unpredictable schedules.
Well, and what I found in my practice is that it really helps you develop a stronger lawyer-client relationship. There's a saying out there, and I can never remember which way it goes, is in terms of the lawyers mirror their clients or clients mirror their lawyers. But when you understand what's going to work best for you, it has been my experience that those are the type of clients that gravitate toward me. So like you said, I like to do things early in the morning. Well, it just turns out that a lot of my clients, they want to do their conference calls or whatever we're going to do before they go to work. So I'm, you know, chatting with them at like, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. Not that everyone has to do that, but it works for me and it works for my clients. Another example is before the pandemic, I used to meet with a lot of my clients in coffee shops and, you know, wear very casual clothing, was thinking I was doing it for me, but the clients felt so much more comfortable talking with me as being just a real person and, you know, doing family law, they're sharing very personal things. And so it actually, again, it like helped strengthen the attorney-client relationship because I was doing the freedom to work and live and be the person who I am in the relationship with my clients. So,
and if you don't mind, I'm going to steal the mirroring clients. That'll be the next term that'll go far and wide.
I have to figure out which way it goes. I can never figure out which way it goes. But anyway, so now that we've gotten everyone so excited about doing work-life blend, how do you actually implement this into your practice?
So we're still early-ish in 2021. So the way I like to look at it is adopting a New Year's resolution. And rather than saying, okay, overnight, my practice is going to implement all five freedoms immediately, I think it really works best to kind of take them one at a time and begin to implement them slowly. Just as if you wanted to say, for this new year, I want to become a runner, so I'm going to run, you know, the New York City Marathon. That's a really tall task, or the Colfax Marathon for us. It's a tall task, but if you say, okay, I just want to be able to run a 5K by summertime, that's a much more manageable thing to tackle, and then you can begin to build from there. And so for these five freedoms, I encourage people to look at which of these five freedoms excite you the most and which can you begin to implement overnight. So whether it's, you know, the freedom to rethink when and where work happens, how can I start to build more trust into my practice, to trust myself to schedule my day in a way that makes most sense, and also to trust my fellow partners or my associates to structure their days that make the most sense. And so really take small bites and begin to see the benefits from making this move and implement more. And as part of this, communication is key, really setting the tone from the top down, from the bottom up, that we're going to work together in a smarter manner. And so let's figure out together how we can begin to implement these in our day-to-day practice.
Well, if I may, I'm going to suggest a sixth freedom from that, which is the freedom to play with your work-life blend. As you start off, when I started doing this, just playing with different concepts of how I thought I wanted my life to look like and how I wanted my work and life to blend. But it's a learn as you go. And, you know, different things come up in your life as they do. And so that's to me, the amazing thing about the work-life blend is it's very flexible. So have fun with it and play around with it. So if it's okay, that would be my sixth freedom to suggest.
No, I think that's a great sixth freedom because my work-life blend today looks different than it did 4 years ago. You know, I have my kids are getting, you know, they're 8 years old now. And so my schedule is different with them. And just my business is at a different point than it was 4 or 5 years ago. And so really having that flexibility to respond to life's current events is critical. So I'm gonna adopt that sixth freedom to play around with work-life blend and realize, you know, what works for 1 month or what works for 1 year isn't necessarily how you're going to be, you know, a year or two down the road, and that's okay.
So you're going to start quoting me.
Yes. Instead of me quoting you. Erica Holmes, the sixth freedom. we'll call it the Erica Holmes paradigm. So with that, you've given us that bit of wisdom. I do have a question for you on work-life blend, because in a lot of ways, as I said, you were living this concept before I could even name it as a thing. You've talked in the past about how you very intentionally allot time each week for what you need to accomplish for your clients, what you'd like to do for your bar service, other extracurricular activities, and so on. And so my question to you, and this is something that I have a hard time with and would be interested in gleaming your wisdom, how do you set boundaries for yourself in this blended environment to take care of all of these different responsibilities and desires that are important to you? Where does that boundary setting come in place?
We all know that I love simple. And so my answer is pretty straightforward and pretty simple. And so I wake up every day and I look at the different things that I have to do, and both personal and professional. And I pick one daily priority, both personally and professionally, and let everything kind of fall from there. And so I just look at my day and how am I going to get these things done, knowing that a big focus is on that one daily priority for myself and for my personal life, and just setting kind of that anchor, everything else just tends to fall in place. As I look at my tasks, okay, this is my daily priority for personal, this is my daily priority for professional, then I start figuring out how long things are going to take me that day and working around meetings and everything. And then I literally set an alarm. So if I'm going to be working on a motion from like 8 until 9:30, then I have an alarm on my phone at 9:30 with my happy song of the week. I do it until the alarm goes off. And so I just live with these different daily priorities and my little alarm on my phone, which I really suggest finding your happy song, because it's just a really nice way to whatever that segment is. So keep it simple and it keeps me in line.
I like it. What is your happy song this week, just out of curiosity?
So my favorite song of the week, my happy song of the week, is Michael Frenti and Spearhead, and it's called Good Shit Happens.
I think that's a perfect place to tie up work-life blend. So Erica, thank you for interviewing me this week. Our next episode will be entirely different. I will be asking the questions, so none of the pressure of having the answers for this one. It's Tech 2.0 we have a special guest co-host, Karen Safran, a modern lawyer extraordinaire. And we'll have a couple of very tech-savvy modern lawyers who will take a deep dive into the outer edges of tech in the legal industry. As a lot of you will remember, we had a Tech 1.0 episode with Marty Champagne and Lauren Lester, one past, one current chair of MLPI. And this next Tech 2.0 episode we'll start really pushing the boundaries, looking at smart contracts, looking at artificial intelligence in the legal industry. And something that I've heard a lot about, but I know nothing about, so it'll be an educational episode for myself. We'll be talking about the role of blockchain in the legal industry. And so for this one, I'm excited to really sit back and learn a lot and have our tech-savvy lawyers who have a knowledge of technology far beyond me to show us what the present and future of the legal profession will look like as tech becomes more integrated.
And JP, I want to thank you for coming back and being our extra special guest and coining the term work-life blend and making it a thing and for sending me that original email. So thank you for all of that. I would also like to remind our listeners about our helpline, how to start a revolution helpline. If you have any questions for our presenters or topics that you would like us to cover, just give us a call on the revolution helpline and leave us a message. We will actually play your question on the next podcast and provide an answer. Make sure to leave your name and the name of your firm or organization so that everyone knows who their fellow revolutionaries are. The phone number to do that is 303-824-5399. That's 303-824-5399. And that is also posted on the MLPI community page. So welcome to the revolution. You've got questions and we have answers.
Thank you for joining us today on the Modern Law Revolution Podcast.